We come before God now in prayer once again. As we pray for others, let's bow our heads. Lord, we do thank you that we are celebrating Christmas. And Lord, in such a visual way, with the trees and the decorations, and Lord, all the verses of Scripture and the opportunities that we have had. And Lord, just for a moment, we want to pause this morning and we want to think of Charlie and Carl McAvoy. We just pray for them this morning, Lord, in the sudden loss of their daughter. And we know, Lord, there are many connections to that McAvoy family tree. And we just pray, Lord, as the shock of this ripples out through that extended family, Lord, that extended family would indeed know your grace. They would know your presence and your comfort and support at this very, very tough time. But Lord, we do thank you that even when we realize that when someone has passed away so suddenly, we thank you, Lord, for the great promises we have in Scripture that death is not the end. It has, in fact, been defeated. And it has been defeated because a Savior was born. And Lord, we celebrate Jesus this year. And we do thank you, Lord, for all of the verses of Scripture, the great story that has been told on each of the trees in this building. We thank you, Lord, for every soul that you have drawn into this building through this event. And we pray, Lord, that all the divine appointments that were to be met have been met. All the things that were to be read have been read. The conversations have been had. And, Lord, that your purpose has been fulfilled in this program. And we do thank you, Lord, for this busy time of year, for all of our ministries, for all who serve in various ways in this congregation. And we just thank you, Lord, for the year that has gone by. And now as we focus at Christmas and the Christmas parties, and we just pray, Lord, there will be a rest and a restoration for all ministering in this place so that they will be ready for 2018, Lord, and for the opportunities that you have for us there. And, Lord, we're so thankful that when we look out, Lord, we see the snow and the lovely snow-colored hills. And we've had lovely flutters of snow, Lord, when we were lighting the Christmas tree in the village. And, Lord, it is all very Christmassy. But yet, Lord, it is so treacherous, these weather conditions. And, Lord, in our congregation here, we have many who travel for a living, many who travel to work and cover lots of miles. We just pray for continued safety, Lord, on our roads, not just for the people here in the congregation, but for everyone, Lord, in those icy and slippy conditions. And we pray also, Lord, for those who feel bound in their homes when these slippy conditions come, the fear of going out and slipping and falling and getting hurt. We do pray, Lord, that as beautiful as these conditions are, that they would pass quickly and that folks would not feel bound in their homes at this time. And Lord, we do pray for the services that are coming up. We pray that many will come, many will sing and hear God's word read and preached, and they will engage with Jesus Christ as their Savior this year. Lord, we exist to serve you and to glorify you. And may everything that we do be towards that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. They've taken the clock away, folks. So I hope you're sitting comfortably. I have taken my watch off here, by the way. There will be a little reminder of the time. And it's time that we're talking about. It's Christmas time. And God's perfect timing is the overall theme of the next few services and worship services here. And today we're thinking about time, Christmas time. It's Christmas time. There's no need. I promised the clock I wasn't going to sing, and now I've just broken any song. I can't help myself. Who can remember back to 1984 and Band-Aid? Huh? Who can remember it? Come on, you can all remember it. Don't be sitting there pretending you don't remember that. You're probably sick listening to it. Christmas time. We know it's a wonderful time of year. It's a season. It is a season now, and the season seems to be getting longer and longer. It's time for everything. It's time for shopping. You have to make time to shop. You have to make a plan and a program and a list for shopping, and there has to be lists for this and lists for that and lists for the other thing. Lists coming out my ears, and I don't have to take anything off, but they're all around the house. Lists, lists, lists. All these things to do. Cooking time. There's a list because the sprouts take longer than the turkey and the stuffing and all of those things. It's a military operation to get all that stuff onto the plate at the right time. Time, 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 time. Parcels don't start me in presents. You have to get them ordered in time to get them delivered, to get them parceled, to get them posted off to somebody else who's not there. And you've got only a certain amount of time because first class can only work in a certain amount of time, and then you'll not get the things for Christmas. There never seems to be enough time at Christmas. Tell me this, when do you feel ready for Christmas? Is there a point in anybody's life where you go, ready for Christmas? We're now ready for Christmas. Let's relax. Certainly not Christmas Eve. It's not the 24th at midnight. That just means you've all the presents ready, hopefully. And you're going, oh, there's that parcel. Did I put that in it? Did I get this? Oh, I forgot something. That'll do you next year. Oh, I think it's only Boxing Day, about 10 o'clock at night, that you feel ready for Christmas, because it's all over. And it's strange, because it's not as if Christmas comes sneaking up on us. Boom! Happy Christmas. The middle of November, the season's getting longer and longer. Now it's the middle of November, we're starting to talk about Christmas. And it's the same date every year. It's not like Easter, where it's early or late. You know, it's the 25th of December. Every year of my life, it has been the 25th of December. So why are we shocked and surprised and under pressure when it comes? We have no excuses. There certainly was one couple who could rightly say, we're not ready for Christmas. Of course, we're talking here about the very first Christmas. And there were lots of people who were not ready for that first Christmas. But certainly Mary and Joseph, from a world's perspective, looking at this young couple, they were not ready. It was not their time. It was not the right time in their life. Next Sunday, we're going to focus a little bit more on Joseph. But today, we're going to look at Mary's time. And this was God's timing, God's perfect timing. And we're reading it in Luke chapter 1. We've read it. You might want to open your Bibles again as we look at some of these verses to see what God's saying to us today about Mary's time at this very, very first Christmas. And you find there in the first few verses, from verse 26 to 30, we find out a lot about Mary. We have lots of information about who this girl was. We read here that she is a virgin. She is engaged, which is stronger than the engagements that we enter into, betrothals that we enter into here today. When you were engaged, you needed a legally binding document to get you out of it again. There was an engagement divorce procedure, but there was still a marriage procedure as well after the engagement. And there were certain things that were allowed and not allowed until they were married. But this engagement was much, much stronger. What else do we read about her? She was highly favored by God, and God was with her. And we find here that she's troubled and wondering why this angel has appeared to her and is talking to her. If we look into the historical context and outside the biblical record, and in some of the verses that follow on here in chapter 1 and into chapter 2, we can discover that Mary was a young woman, a young girl perhaps. I mean, some people believe that she was as young as 12 years of age. That's quite young. But she wouldn't have been any older than 15. So she's in around that maybe 13, 14 years of age, a very young woman. She was a humble woman. She seems to be humble before this angel. She doesn't have any sass or any attitude to this angel. She's very humble. And she tells us herself that she's humble in her song in verse 48. The Lord has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's dutiful as well, because she goes and attends to her aunt or her relative, whoever, whatever that connection is in the family, to Elizabeth. She goes and attends and does her duty there with Elizabeth. She's a godly woman. Mary is a godly woman. Just when you go home, read Mary's song from verse 46 through to 55. Mary knows the Bible. She knows the Old Testament. She knows the story. She knows the prophecies. She knows what is unfolding. She has a level of understanding about God and about his plan. And she's obviously obedient as well. We can read that. So that's quite a lot we can read about this young woman. So then verses 31 to 35 tell us a little bit about this baby that's coming. Well, the first thing to note is that she's going to be having a baby. She didn't know that a minute or two ago. She maybe hoped about it, but she didn't know what was going to happen. This baby is going to be called Jesus. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He is going to sit on David's throne. His kingdom is going to be never-ending, and he is going to be the Son of God. And every one of these descriptions, you can go back into the Old Testament, and you can find a prophecy that says these things were going to happen. These are all prophecy-fulfilling information. This is all prophecy-fulfilling information. And I believe that Mary knew a Savior was coming. She had that knowledge of God's promises. And I imagined as Gabriel was revealing all of this to her, there was little light bulbs. You know the little idea bulbs that we see? Bing, little bulbs, the wee eureka moments. I just feel that Mary was starting to thread all of this together. All these wee lights were coming on. And all this information was beginning to really make sense to her in this moment when she was speaking. But of course, there were some parts of it that she didn't understand. And she says in verse 35, how will this be? Now, she's not doubting what is going to happen. She believes these things are going to happen. But it's how they're going to happen. She obviously has been listening in her GCSE build-up to biology and all of that sort of stuff. So she sort of knows something needs to happen that hasn't happened and it's not appropriate for it to happen either. Mary seems to know, and it's not in the text, but she seems to know that Joseph's not going to be the biological father here. This is not going to be a honeymoon baby, as we would talk about them sometimes. This is going to happen before their marriage. And maybe she knows already that there is a prophecy of a virgin birth, Isaiah 7. And she now realizes that I am that virgin and I am going to give birth to this Savior. But just how is it going to happen? The answer comes in part here in verse 36 when she hears this news about Elizabeth, who is quite advanced in years and beyond what we would normally say childbearing years, but she is now with child. She's in her sixth month. But even that, Mary's situation is different, and she gets a little bit more information there in verse 35. All summed up, nothing is impossible with God. You see, there were lots of stories in these days about gods coming down from the heavens or their realms, wherever that would be, down to earth, and having a physical act with an earthly woman and these half-man, half-godlike children. There's movies and all about them. We read Thor or we watch Thor on TV and different movies about gods, and there's always this physical interaction between the god and the woman. But there's none of that here. This is going to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's integrity as a virgin is going to be intact. Joseph's parallel story that we'll come to next week, we see that he is obedient in his response to this news and what's going to happen. We read that he had no union with Mary until Jesus was born. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. There's quite a lot of information. And this interaction, this conversation with this angel, to me doesn't seem that it's taken a long time. From Mary having been told this is going to happen to the point where she says, may it be to me, there doesn't seem to be a long time here. And I don't think for one moment that Mary had all the light bulbs on. She has it all sorted. She has all of the story in her mind. I don't think that's the case, because as we read on through, we see Jesus being born. And then you read about the shepherds coming from the hills. The angels met with them and they come down into the stable. And this seems to intrigue Mary and gives her more information about this baby Jesus. They go to the temple then with Jesus. They meet Simeon and Anna and they get more information. You can then jump over in verse 41 of chapter 2 to Jesus being 12 years of age in the temple. And even then, Mary is still receiving information of who this child is, and it's all starting to unfold even more. But I see at this point, with some of the information, recognizing God's work in creation, Mary is quite simply being obedient. She is trusting God completely at this stage in her life. And let's be clear, this was not the right time for Mary, humanly speaking. Mary would have known the passage in Deuteronomy 22, verses 13 to 22. A young woman who claimed to be a virgin, before she was married, who was found with child, was taken and was stoned to death. So she knew exactly what this meant, but yet she was able to say, may it be to me. She's a young woman. She's not married. She must have had dreams of her wedding day. Women dream of wedding days, don't you, ladies? I didn't dream of a wedding day. Men try to avoid wedding days, but we get snared after a while, and then we have to go with the flow, don't we? Look at the men now sitting there going steely-eyed. I'm not moving my head. I'm not revealing anything. Yes, of course we dream, but women dream differently about their wedding day. You know, and this young woman would have been no different. It would have been a very different day for her, obviously. But she would have dreamed of having her own little house, looking after it her way, raising her children if God was going to bless her with children. She had this whole plan ahead of her, and now it's all been scrumpled up, and it's been thrown away, and she's been pointed in completely another direction. It was not the right time. She wasn't the right girl. She had no experience. She had no life experience. She had no child-rearing experience. When we read about Mary, there are no outstanding credentials in her CV. But it was the right time for God. And that is the important part of this story. Paul writes in Galatians 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. When the time was right, not a second before, not a second after, all of this is happening at God's perfect timing. I've been involved in interviewing people as a board of governor, on the board of governors, both in the primary school and down in Glastry. And we're looking with people with the greatest credentials, the strongest candidate. And I just don't think if we'd have been presented with a number of women to choose a woman who was going to give birth to the Savior of the world, that in either of the boards of governors, with the wisdom and all that we have, because some of them are in the room here, with all the wisdom that we possess, honestly, we would not have picked Mary for this job. She would not have been the strongest candidate. But she was the right candidate. She was the right candidate, and God chose her. And she proved herself to be the right candidate because she put God first. She put all of her plans and ambitions and dreams to one side and put God first. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now, what can we learn from Mary's story, Mary's time? Well, the first thing that we've realized is that this is a young, teenage, unmarried girl who is about to be pregnant. Now, that doesn't apply, I hope, to anybody in this room. Doesn't apply to most of us men, anyway. Doesn't apply to the most of you women, because you're long past teenage years, just saying as it is. So really, this girl doesn't really apply to any of us in this room. We could maybe take the general principles here that we've read about, obedience, godliness, and humility, and we could start applying them to ourselves, and we could do that as well, yeah, and we will. But I think in this passage, we can rightly look at this young woman's life, and we can take it from a perspective and further perspective of the women in our congregation. Now, men, don't you be finding a nice comfy seat down behind a Christmas tree there and falling asleep. Just because now we're going to focus on what God is saying to the ladies in the congregation does not mean that we've got nothing to listen to. Because what God says to the ladies of this congregation about His will for their lives, it's our role and our duty to ensure that that path can be walked and that we make it happen. And then next week, when we look at Joseph, ladies, it's your responsibility to ensure whatever God is saying to the men in the congregation, that you do your part in ensuring that we become the men that God wants us to be in the same way that we are to ensure that you become the women that God wants you to be. Now, even what I have said so far about separating all the human beings in this room into two categories, male and female, that already is starting to fly in the face of what the world is bombarding us with. It's trying to just merge us all into this one sort of personhood thing, doing away with the differences between male and female. But as I read the Bible, it only recognizes two types of people, male and female, and it describes them as different. And I think sometimes, men, we read Genesis and think of it wrongly. I think sometimes we think God created man. Man was the first thing created. He was the greatest thing. God created man, and then God looked down and he saw man sitting there and he goes, "Oh, look at man, he's lonely. He needs somebody to talk to. He needs somebody to give him a wee hug now and again. I'll create a woman for him." God looked down and saw man. Man was perfect, sinless and perfect. But man was incomplete for the job. Man was incomplete. God created not another man. He created something different, a woman. And only when men and women work together is God's plan actually achievable. Because we're all doing the bits. And yes, there will be overlaps and we'll come to those. But we were all doing those bits. That is God's plan for us. Now, I want to make something very clear. With what I have said now, there are people in the world, maybe someone who's going to listen to this sermon online. They'll be going, oh, that's one homogenistic caveman woman hating kind of minister. What sort of boy is that? Because that's the kind of things that we get branded with when we start to talk about God's purposes for male and female. I want to say to you this morning, I believe in the equality between the male and female species in the world. Now, I don't believe in this equality that the world is chasing after. This equality where everybody can do everything they want when they want. That just doesn't work because there's always going to be someone offended. There's no grace and there's no looking at the needs of others before ourselves and what the world is telling us about equality. But what I believe in is the equality between men and women. Because I read the Bible and it says God created male and female equal. There's no imbalance in God's creation. Absolutely equal. Men and women are equally loved by God. They are equally valued by God. They are equally important to His purposes and will for creation. Absolutely equal. They are of equal worth. They get saved in exactly the same way, by exactly the same Savior, by placing their trust in Him. And we all share equally the responsibility of telling men and women, old and young, in this world about Jesus Christ. Sharing our faith. That's absolute equality. And in the world, I believe that boys and girls should be educated all around the world. They should have equal opportunities to learn maths and English and all of those things. They may not want it in equal measure, but that's the way I believe it should be. When it comes to the workplace, if there's a man and a woman doing the same job, they should get the same money. They should have the same opportunities for promotion. They should have the same working conditions. The job should be based on ability, regardless of whether they're male or female. So I just wanted to get that out there. I wanted to make sure that that's what I'm talking about. And what I believe is this. I believe that historically and currently, men have been guilty of a great sin. The sin of treating women in an unequal manner. That is not God's purpose for men and women. But when we think about equality, we must always maintain biblical identity. We must always remember that men and women are different. Equal, but different. And this woman, Mary, she was a woman. She was a young woman. And she was highly favored by God. So what I want to say to the ladies in the congregation this morning is this. The first question I want to ask you, the first thing I want you to think about is this. Could you apply that phrase, that statement to yourself? Could you say, I am a woman highly favored by God? Now, the first thing to say about that is, well, what was Mary? Mary was known by God. She knew God. She had a relationship with God. She trusted God. She was saved in that pre-Jesus way. We place our trust in God through the work of Jesus Christ. She was about to give birth to Jesus, but that trust, that faith, was exactly the same faith and trust, the same faith and trust that Abraham had. She was righteous in God's sight. Ladies, the first question that we should ask, that you should ask yourselves this morning, have you your trust firmly placed in Jesus Christ? Because if you have, that is favor. God has poured His blessing out on you. He has lavished you with grace upon grace to save you. And that is favor. So if you're here this morning and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are highly favored by God. So please remember that right from the outset. But what about Mary's specific role then? Well, you could probably start talking yourself out of this by saying, but Mary was special. She was chosen for a special job. She was the mother of Jesus Christ. Nobody else, no other woman got that job. And that's true. But what about her character? Is her character achievable? these things that we've read about, is that achievable in your life? Whether it's achievable or not, it must be aspirational. When we read about characters in the Bible, whether they're male or female, there are some general characters like the obedience and the godliness and the humility that we can all aspire to. But whenever we're reading about a man, then there's something there maybe for men to read into. And when we're reading about this young woman, there's certainly something for young women and ladies of all ages to read into. And the one thing that really struck me about Mary was her knowledge and understanding of God and His will and the Scriptures and what God was doing. She recognized when these prophecies were being spoken to her by the angel Gabriel, she recognized this was about her. Those prophecies that she had learned for those early years of her life, she now recognized herself in this prophecy. Ladies, are you taking time in the midst of all of the stuff that you have to do, not just at Christmas, but the uniforms and the dinners and the washing? Men, I hope you're doing a lot of this too, but I know that generally women are more busy with this stuff than men are. But ladies, are you taking time? Men, are you giving them the time by taking on some of that stuff? So that, ladies, you are getting time. You and yourself, the Bible and God. Are you reading the Scriptures and do you see your life in the pages of these books? Because if that favor of salvation has rested on you, your life is in this book. This is how God speaks to you. Are you taking the time to discover your life in God's Word? Because when you go out into the world, you want to have this thing leading and guiding you. And there's no doubt that Mary's life options were a lot fewer than the options that we have today and that you have as ladies today. And maybe even in the congregation, you know, for some of the, oh, this is the very difficult part here now, boys, where you're starting to take, it's easy going male and female, but when you're getting into this female thing and you're going to the different spectrums of it, you have to be a lot more sensitive here. But for some of you ladies, the options weren't as varied as they were for some of the younger ladies. There's lots of options now out in the world. But whatever options you are thinking about going out into the world, whatever options you have gone into the world, wherever you're at in your walk currently, are those God's options for you? Or has that just been your idea? Or have you just been bombarded with what the world is telling you you should be as a woman? There's a phrase that I hear repeated I've heard it repeated a number of times, and you'll know this phrase the minute I say it, and I agree with it. I absolutely, in one sense, agree with this phrase, but in another sense, I just think, where is God in that? And the phrase is, and it usually comes across not in a very pleasant way. The phrase usually comes across something like this, and I'm really characterizing here. I can do anything a man can do. And it's true. I think there's lots of things that men do that women can do. If a woman wants to be an electrician, that's all right. If she wants to go and milk cows, that's all right. If she wants to go and drive a lorry, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. It's usually the tone with which it's said. It's usually very negative. But it's true. But it may not be true for all ladies. So what happens whenever one woman says, that's a man's job, I can do it, it leaves some other woman thinking, well, if I don't have that attitude, I'm somehow wrong. But there's also something else in that statement. I'm looking out here at a room of men. And men, can we all do the same things? No. We shouldn't even look at men and say, that's a man's job, or a man can do that, I can do it. The question is, does God want me to do it, whatever it is? Ladies, God created you for His purposes. He created you female. And you will only find fulfillment doing what God wants you to do. Now, if that's a man's job, that's fine, if God wants you to do that. But make sure you are reading this, finding yourself in this, and going out into the world the way that God wants you to go into it, wherever that takes you, wherever that takes you. Mary's humble nature and her obedience really just stand out in this passage. And this must be our aspiration for all of us, for men and women alike. You know, let's just throw this bag out again. Obedience to God's command and humbling ourselves before the Lord, putting God first in every decision. Now, decisions are sometimes easier to make. Sometimes discerning God's will is easier than others. Sometimes it's very difficult. And biblical awareness, finding yourself in the pages of Scripture, is very, very important for this. But there's also something else that's very important. And that is the witness and the testimony of other people. Whenever we do prayer ministry, it's always in twos, so that things can be tested and there can be accountability. And if we say anything to anyone in prayer ministry, here's a word from the Lord. You know the things I would read out that sound bizarre sometimes? When someone comes forward, we say, now listen, this is us speaking to you. Maybe God speaking through us, but go and test it. Go and test it in some other way. Go and read about it in Scripture. And we say this other thing that we find here. Go and speak to somebody else about it. Where does Mary go? She goes to Elizabeth. Now, there may have been some kind of duty involved there where she had to go. But this young woman who's told she's just going to be pregnant, she's just about to be pregnant, at some point in this story, she becomes pregnant. She goes to her older relative who is already 6 months into that journey. She goes and finds the testimony of someone else. Ladies, are you seeking out the other ladies and sharing experience in this congregation? Are you sharing guidance as women of God in this world? Are you encouraging one another in ways that we see here in this passage? Now, I know it's great that we have women's fellowship and we have the book club and we have ladies' discipleship groups, but not all the ladies are involved in those. I want to take those and ministries which are really good, and I support them, and ladies should try to get them if they can. But we're a covenant community. We're a family here in this place. We should not just be relying on ministries to make things like this happen. Marys, younger women in the congregation, do you know the experiences of the Elizabeths in this congregation? Elizabeths, do you know what the Marys of this congregation are going through? Do you know the trials and the testings and the things that they're facing? Because what you'll find is this: there's nothing new under the sun. Just because the world is maybe more technological and moves at a different pace, it might look very different. What you're going through, the feelings that you have, the issues that you have will be the same. You have lots to share. And you won't just do that in one conversation. It may take 10 conversations to build up that trust so that you get to know one another. You get to know who can I turn to? Because this is what Mary did. She turned to Elizabeth for comfort and to share. And we can see that Elizabeth gets as much out of that interaction as Mary did. And ladies, here's a simple truth. We men do not understand. Full stop. There's no subject to that statement. We just honestly don't understand. You know this female part best. In God's great drama that he is playing out in creation, ladies, you know the part best. But man, that doesn't mean we don't have a part to play. While this Mary story is unfolding, Joseph's story is unfolding in Matthew, and God willing, we'll be here next week and look at that. Guess what? An angel appears to him. I believe it's the same angel. Maybe it's not. Doesn't matter, because it's the same God telling this man and this woman these two kind of separate things. Story for a man, a story for a woman. We see the two coming together, fitting perfectly. God's will playing out in the lives of a man and a woman so that his glory is revealed. And that's what we want this Christmas, for us to understand. We've come from a whole series about being a covenant community. Let's really make it real. Let's share with one another. Let's make sure we are ensuring that each of us has what we need to do what we need for God at this time. Ladies, there are many ladies in this room who are favored by God, saved by the grace of God. And I trust that as you read this story of Mary and Elizabeth, and as we look through this, that you will be aspiring to have these characteristics in your life. And don't think for one moment you have to do it alone. Find sisters to share in this story from all generations. We were thinking of a Latin motto for Friday night when we had to move from outdoors to indoors, and there was lots of emails and funny text messages about what the Latin for the motto would be. And Latin mottos are a very catchy thing. There's a motto, ladies, for this job, but I think it's far too long, and you wouldn't get your tongue around it, so we'll just do it in English. And we find it in this passage in Scripture, so you can turn to it any time you want. The motto is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our sisters, your daughters, the woman of this congregation, Lord. And we thank you for this story of Mary. And we thank you, Lord, that you chose her and you poured your grace out in her life. And Lord, we pray that the ladies of our congregation today will have had that same pouring, will have felt you speaking to them. And Lord, as men of this congregation, we want to stand together so that all the parts of your wonderful drama, Lord, play out the way you want them to. So Lord, may you speak to us all today the words that we need to hear. May our ears be opened to hear them, minds ready to comprehend them, and hearts ready to receive them in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.